In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us quieten this evening in prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have again assembled together as your children, we uplift our hearts unto thee and wish to thank you for all the blessings you have given unto us. But above all the temporal things, dear Heavenly Father, we wish to praise your holy name for this gift of faith that you have given unto us. We ask this evening that you would open your word unto us according to thy holy will, that you would guide our speech and you would affect in our hearts the desire to believe. And we yet turn to thee, dear Father, with that prayer as your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This evening we will read from the book of Hebrews, from the 11th chapter. We will read the first 11 verses. And the theme which we will consider as we read these words is this theme which is noted for the third Sunday after Epiphany. And the theme is Jesus Awakens Faith. And so we will pause before these examples of faith as it is written here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And in Jesus' name we pause before these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. This 11th chapter of Hebrews goes on to speak of many others that are recorded of their portions of their life of the Old Testament. They were believers. And it also speaks of, we've heard about Cain, he had lost faith. But primarily this chapter speaks about those that believed God and were able to lay down their staff of faith and receive the promise of God in heaven. This text which we have read from this evening is from the third Sunday after Epiphany. And there's a few Sundays of Epiphany, but it just so happens this year some of the texts for that time of Epiphany will not be used because Easter is a month early this year. Or I don't know how many days early it is, but I think there's three or four Sundays that will not be used in this calendar year because Easter is earlier this year than other years. But so it was that this portion of God's Word was for one of the other Sundays during Epiphany. And it speaks to us about what faith is and how the believers of the Old Testament lived and how their report was, as the Bible says, that they had a report. There was a report of them. And so it is that we as believers today, we hope that when we pass away from this life, there is also that report that is in God's kingdom about our endeavor. That hopefully it's a report of faith. There's a testimony of our life. And so we've heard the testimony about the Old Testament travelers, a few of them here in these 11 verses which we have read. And it begins in the first. It begins by talking about Abel and Cain. We remember that they were the first sons of Adam and Eve. And we would have to think that Adam and Eve spoke to their sons and their children about their life in paradise. We remember that they were able to live a life without sin, and we don't know how long. But we would have to think that they would have told their children about how wonderful it was to live a life in paradise. And we would also know that they would have told their children how that life was taken away from them, but that God had given them a hope of a life in paradise once they passed from this life. And so we would have to think that even as you parents here speak to your children about the way of faith. First, we must first believe ourselves in that promise of God. It's hard to speak to our children about faith if we don't own faith first in our own heart. There has been those that have lost the way to heaven, but have grown up in a believing home and have been taught about faith. But because of unforgiven sin and the desire to live in sin, they have lost the way to heaven. And the Spirit of God has left them. And so they no longer had a guide to heaven. And so they only could have what they were taught as a foundation, maybe we could say, to teach their children. But they didn't no longer have the Spirit of God there to explain and to enlighten the way. But so it was that there was one woman in particular that comes to my mind. And she is today a believer. She has come back into the kingdom of God. God opened the doors to his kingdom to her, and she was able to come back into the kingdom of God. But she said that in her time of unbelief, when she was trying to teach her children, she tried to teach them how she was taught there in her childhood. And she says, I tried my best, and I don't know, it's hard for any one of us to say that we always try our hardest or our best, but she says, I endeavored to try to teach them right and wrong. But she said there was something missing. I just couldn't teach them about faith. Because she didn't have it herself. But so it was when she was granted faith again. Then she could speak about it because she could understand it. It made sense. The Spirit was there. Without the Spirit, how do you teach about faith? You can only teach of those things that you have learned. And so God's Spirit is a wonderful teacher, dear brothers and sisters, and it's not to be underestimated. Use that wonderful teacher in your own homes when you teach your children about faith. And so this portion of God's Word which we have read from this morning speaks to us about faith. And it begins in this way and then kind of gives us an explanation here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's kind of, for me, it's kind of a mouthful to try to explain what that is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith because we believe there will be a place that's beyond this life. And there's a place beyond this life for every man, whether they have faith or they do not have faith. But there's only a reward for one. And that's the reward is you will only make it and receive the reward by faith. You can't receive the reward in any other way. And so, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the, maybe we could say it's the evidence, as we've read here. We can see in the, it's easier for us to see the faith in those that have passed away, maybe we could say. Although I can look at you, dear brothers and sisters, and I can see that you have faith. It's easier for me to see the faith in our brothers and sisters than it is to see that there's faith in myself. But I believe God. That's my endeavor. I want to make it to heaven, and I want to live a life as a believer. But always the devil is putting temptations before me because he wants to deceive us. He wants to steal our soul. He wants to steal the peace that we have as God's children. He's jealous of God. He doesn't have what God has. He can't give man peace in their heart like God can. Like we can, as believers, we have something that it's in our heart that it's hard for us to explain what that is. But it's peace there. We don't worry about if we die. Maybe some of you do. I sometimes I wonder what it would be like to die. Just this past week, I went to see a dear brother that's on the last, I don't know how many days he has, but it's not long. And he will see. I've wondered there what, as he laid there, knowing that the end is quite near. I've wondered what he might think. He's in kind of a weakened condition, so he's not able to so much express. But he is still able to encourage his family that, don't worry, God will take care of you. He has that faith in God. Even as God has taken care of him. And he will, by faith, see the promise of God. And so, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It's hard for us to think that our report will be any good. You students that go to school, you strive and you try hard, I would guess, or you should. You should try hard in school. It's good to get good grades, and it's important that you feel good about what we've done when you do your schoolwork and so on. But at the end of the quarter, you get a report of what you've done. And hopefully your report card is good. I know for a parent, when my children have good report cards, it's kind of nice. It's easier for me to. But I suppose it would be that type of thing that maybe my pride would start to get in the way. But because I've seen both of the good ones and the bad ones, unfortunately for the bad ones. But it takes a little bit more discussion with the negative side of it. But so it is that when our journey of life here ends, it seems like it's because we're so faulty and unsuccessful in this endeavor of faith, and we fall into sin so often, that I wonder what that report will be like. But it's important that we remember this, that the report, if we can believe, is the report that Jesus has done. That he made a way to heaven that's not dependent so much on what you've done. He made the way to heaven is on the work that he has done for us. And so we believe in that work. And we endeavor to believe God's word. Because God's word speaks about the work that Jesus has done for us. It doesn't speak about you as individuals and what kind of work that you've done. Although it does speak here in this text about the Old Testament travelers that live by faith. And that's the report that we want, is that we've lived by faith. We've endeavored to live here on the earth by faith. And so their text goes on to say that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything that we make here in this life, we have something that God has placed here on the earth, and we take that and we fashion it and we make something else. But we understand and we believe so simply that how this world came to be, that God created it. And how did he do it? The Bible says, it explains it, it's by his word. And so man has tried to come up with other ways that this came about, and I would say that it takes a lot more faith to believe that than just to believe what God's word says. But that faith isn't in God. That faith is in man. And there's only one saving way, and that's to believe God. Have faith in God. And so we simply believe, as this here says, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it goes on to speak about Abel, for by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By it he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. We remember that Old Testament happening when the first sacrifices were, maybe they weren't the first sacrifices, but they're the first sacrifices that are recorded in God's Word. How Cain offered a sacrifice and Abel offered a sacrifice. They both did. They both had some idea about God. Even as many of this world, they have an idea about God. And many of them, I would say, they probably give money to certain charities and have good intentions, give money to different churches and so on. But there's only one saving faith here upon the earth, one true faith that's based on God's Word. It says that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How is it that he was able to offer a more excellent sacrifice than his brother? They both offered to God. If we look at that Old Testament writings, maybe we could find it here. I don't recall what chapter it is. I think maybe the fourth chapter of Genesis. It explains why Abel's offering to God was accepted and Cain's wasn't. From the fourth chapter, the beginning of that fourth chapter, maybe we should just read a few verses here. From the second verse, and Eve again bare a brother, which was Abel. So Cain was the older of the two. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel in his offering, but unto Cain in his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So the reason that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted to God is because he had sin in his heart. He had unbelief in his heart. He had obviously had remembered the teachings of his home, and he had some idea about God. But God told Cain that if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And we can see that God could see right into Cain's heart. He was wroth, and his countenance had fallen. And Cain became jealous that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his wasn't. And it made him angry. And then he went and killed his brother. And we could see the evidence of what was in his heart. That anger and hatred, which resulted in the killing of his brother. From the fifth verse it says, "And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." How was it that he was able to please God? We've read further in this chapter, and we've already heard that it's impossible to please God without faith. The only way that any one of us would ever be able to please God is to believe him. That is pleasing to God, when you believe God, when you believe his word. There's no other way that you can please God here in this life except to believe him. And then it goes on to say, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And we can learn from the example of Noah that, as it says here, that Noah believed God. And what did God tell Noah? God told Noah to build an ark, for he would destroy this world. How did Noah believe that? We would say that it had required faith. He didn't see. It was in the future that he was to see it. He had to believe God. And because he believed God, he started to build that ark. If he wouldn't have believed God, he wouldn't have done that work. And we might think, and we have heard, that our work will not save us. And that's a truth. But why did Noah work? Because he believed God. So it's first that we believe God and then we work. We don't work so that God would be pleased with us. We believe God first and then by faith we please God. We would have to think that if Noah would have had that idea that, you know, I'm not saved by what I do, by my work. What would have happened to Noah? Well, first of all, we know that he went to believe God, because God told him to build that ark for the saving of his soul, of his house. And so it is that we also, as believers, we believe God. And the greatest work that we can believe is we can believe in God's Son. That's the saving work that we can believe in. And that's the saving work that we need to speak of. And that's the saving work that Noah would have spoke of in those days that he built that ark. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. We can read in the Old Testament about Abraham's life that he lived in a faraway place from Israel. I think in the present day Iraq, and probably even there's some city there in Iraq that where he grew up. And so God had told Abraham to leave that place, to journey to the land of Canaan. And he would give that land to him. And so he believed God, and he went. As the Bible says, that he obeyed, And he went out not knowing whither he went. He probably had never been to that place before. They didn't have the means of transportation like we have today, and it would have been many, probably hundreds of miles to go there to scope it out. But he believed God. He moved there. He was obedient to God. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham moved there, and he wandered about. He lived in tents with his sons, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So he believed God, and he believed the promises of God. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then it goes on to speak about Abraham's wife. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We remember during the time of the life of Abraham and Sarah, when they were given that promise, it was many long years they waited. And we remember that Sarah became, maybe we could say, impatient. And she gave the handmaid to Abraham. And that handmaid had a child whose name was Ishmael. And it was difficult for them. But yet she still believed in God. And in God's time, they did have a son. Long past childbearing years for them. But this son was the son Isaac that God had promised. And figuratively speaking, we could say that it was similar to when God sent his son into this world. Many, many generations after he had made the promise, finally God fulfilled that promise. And so it was that when God tested Abraham's faith, as we heard this morning through our dear brother about the trials of our faith, God tried his faith. He told Abraham to take that son and make an offering to God. I don't know what Abraham thought, but he certainly had faith. The Bible says that he believed that God would raise that son. But we remember that because Abraham believed God, God didn't allow him to kill that son. But God did give his son for you and I. He didn't withhold that son from you. But he sent his son into this world so that we could simply live by faith, trusting in the promises of God. We look at a lot of these Old Testament travelers and the difficulties that they had to endure, and we marvel at the faith that God had given them. And we've read about some of them here in this chapter, the 11th chapter. There's 40 verses in that 11th chapter, and it goes on to speak about many other people that lived here on the earth, just as you, your brothers and sisters, live. They woke up every morning. They had their daily callings. They had their families to teach. They had their sin corrupt portion to carry. They fell into sin. And God blessed them. And when their days were, that God had given them, were finished, God took them to heaven.
That's what he's promised for you and I. It's a wonderful promise, dear brothers and sisters, that we can live here on the earth. We can be God's children and heirs of that promise there in heaven. At the end of that chapter, it says that, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without should not be made perfect. These all died in faith, not seeing that final promise of God, the fulfillment of when he sent his Son into this world, but they lived by faith. They weren't able to see that Son here on the earth, even as we weren't able to see, but we have been able to believe, and that's good enough for God. For you to make it to heaven. Be encouraged, dear brothers and sisters, to remain believing, trusting in God, trusting in his promises. He will take you to heaven at the end of your life, even as you remember those that have passed away from this life in faith. You know how they made it to heaven. They made it to heaven by faith, believing in the merit work of Jesus Christ, putting their sins away when they attached on the way to heaven, being strengthened by the gospel, receiving strength to believe and keep faith and a good conscience. Be encouraged this evening hour, dear brothers and sisters, to remain trusting in God, endeavoring by faith on the way to heaven. You will see the end of your endeavor there in heaven. We're not crowned as we travel here. We receive the crown at the other side of time, when eternity begins and this life ends. Then there's only good things for you and I. All bad things and difficult things will they'll be left here. We don't have to drag them with us to heaven. Be encouraged and uplifted to believe. All your latest doubts and sins of the journey forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And that is the message that I still long to hear this evening. Will you also bless me? Can I believe my doubts and sins forgiven? My promise is to believe. I want to see the end of this faith. I want to see what waits there in heaven for us that believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this evening in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.